It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much, and welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Today, we're going to be talking about dealing with the emotional side of change management. But first, if you're listening to our podcast, thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for some other shows with great guests from the past. Speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com. And for those of you who have sent me an email and haven't heard back, hey, we're still working on the scheduling, so don't give up. And given the way email comes in, if you haven't heard in a week from me, give me another email, because that means it went into that never-never land of spam and bad email. Hey, if you've missed any of our previous shows, just go to dgefeller, D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbean.com, or our webpage on thecoachingperspective.com. Well, let me lay some groundwork for what we're going to discuss today. You know, last week I had the privilege of talking to the Entertainment Software Human Resource Association at their annual meeting in Redwood City. Boy, was that a lot of fun. Beautiful up there near San Francisco, and their meeting was at the headquarters of EA. Boy, those geeky people sure know how to put together a building and have a good time, so... Let me tell you, my objective for this afternoon is to introduce you to the distinctions between change management and transition management. And I want you to leave this call with an awareness of when transitions are going to happen and what you can do to plan for and manage them. You know, there's life transitions, there's technology transitions, there's business transitions, there's even belief or cultural transitions. What complicates things is that we're frequently going through not only multiple transitions at the same time, but transitions in different areas. For example, have you ever had to deal with buying a new home or moving at the same time that you just got a promotion at work? So there you are, consumed with the personal decisions and actions involved in a new home, and at the same time you're taking on the added responsibilities of a new position at work. You know, whoever said leave your personal issues at the door was just dreaming. We just aren't built that way. We bring all the baggage with us to the office or the home, even when we try not to. Some of it's even packed in invisible luggage, but we bring it just the same. So, as we get started, let's stop for a minute and define what a transition is and what it is not. And I think that especially in the business world, we confuse change and transition. And to make matters worse, we only acknowledge change and seldom deal with transition. Now, what I mean by that is that change is situational. It's an event. It's typically a tangible event. Transition, on the other hand, is psychological, emotional, and usually intangible. And things get even more complicated when we realize that transition is emotional, because that means that the same situation may be transitional for me, but not for you. So let me give you a personal example. You know, I love to buy new cars. I don't need a reason, you know, like the existing one is costing too much for repairs or using too much gas. No, I just like changing cars. You know, with one exception in my life, I have never felt sad about leaving the old car and getting in the nice new car. Yes, buying a car is emotional for me, but it's 100% positive emotion or 100% transitional emotion. However, my wife Leslie's just the opposite when it comes to cars. She sees no need to change, and if there is something mechanically wrong with the car, her first thought is to have it fixed, not to buy a new one. She truly feels sad about leaving the old car behind as if it was a dear friend. So for her, like me, the experience is emotional, but in her case, it's 100% negative. So buying a new car in our family is a transition. Getting a new car is the change transaction. dealing with the emotions, positive or negative, is the transition transaction. And I've learned the hard way that buying a new car is not just dealing with change issues, such as researching prices, selling the old one, cleaning out the trunk and glove box, and negotiating the new price. No, I've had to also deal with the transition issues, which means recognizing the other person's feelings and how they're different from mine, and preparing for the transition way ahead of time by talking about it and a whole lot of other things that I'm not going to share with you. So, definitions, change, in this case, is buying a new car. Transition is dealing with the emotions of buying a new car. You know, one of the planned ways that we deal with transitions is through rituals or what some call rites of passage. And we are especially good at this when it comes to life transitions. For instance, think about all the rituals that accompany the traditional wedding. You know, from the engagement process, the rehearsal dinners, the bachelor parties, definitely an acknowledgement of letting go of the old ways, the wedding ceremony, and on to the honeymoon. We even have groundbreakings or housewarming ceremonies. We have funerals or celebration of life ceremonies. We give cards and gifts for graduations. And the list goes on as to how we deal with or have rituals to deal with transitions in our life. But when it comes to business, we hardly recognize most of the transitions that we are going through or that our staff may be going through. We recognize the change aspects. We might put out a memo saying, tomorrow show up at a different location, or we're moving your desk, or we're going to replace your computer. But the transitional aspect of the change usually gets ignored and certainly gets minimized. You know, there's two quotes that I want to share with you that I think illustrate this point very well. The first is by an American novelist, and it is, "Nothing is as dear as what you're about to leave." Nothing is as dear as what you're about to leave. And the second is from David Foster Wallace. He says, "Everything I've ever let go of has claw marks on it." Everything I've ever let go of has claw marks on it. You know, the real eye-opener here is that we can clearly see this in hindsight, but the trick is, can we identify it for future issues? You know, let me give you an example, again, a personal example, and I apologize for those, but hey, it's meaningful to me. An example of a transition that I left claw marks all over. You know, for 19 years, I owned a franchise called Renaissance Executive Forms. In fact, I had bought the first franchise that was ever sold, and Orange County was my territory. I put together groups of CEOs and business owners who met once a month for a half day to function as an advisory board for each other. I would facilitate the group and do some management training. My relationship with the franchisor was not always smooth. Annually, they would have a three-day meeting for the franchisees from all over the world and advise us on how to run our business. In my opinion, they maybe didn't live up to everything they said they were going to do. And when they did try to help or tell me what to do, I resented it. You know, during this same time, I started my coaching business and actually spent most of my time on that and not on the franchise. Probably part of the reason I had a problem. You know, after 19 years, I asked them to let me out of my last year of the franchise agreement and to waive any financial penalties so I could really work 100% of my time on my coaching. Well, they were extremely generous. They not only agreed, but asked if I could stay on as a licensee, a role to be defined. I also asked if I could continue to attend the annual meetings that they had, and they encouraged it. And I realized that I was reluctant to give up my identity as a Renaissance franchisee. I even wanted to continue to use the same business card. And you know, this annual meeting, for years I had resented having to spend 3 or 4 days at this annual meeting when I couldn't bring any revenue in. But here I was negotiating with them to, hey, please let me attend this meeting after I sell back my franchise. Well, we did the change. We went through that. I sold the franchise. But after a few months, I realized that I really didn't need that identity, and in fact, I really didn't want to spend any time on it. But here I was, leaving claw marks all over, clinging desperately to this identity that I was so excited about getting rid of, but yet so worried about letting go of. That was the transition. The change was easy. It was a legal document. I no longer own the franchise. You own the franchise. This settles it all up. But the transition, who dealt with the emotions of the transition? The emotions on my part of one feeling sort of lost in the wind without that identity. And I don't know what emotions they went through. Well, you know, every transition has three stages that we can identify. The end, which is always the beginning of transition, meaning what are you letting go of? The middle, which is that loss period framed by what will I be spending my time on now? And the new beginning, that I'm finally ready to look at what is required of me in this new space. But remember that it's not what happens, but what one chooses to think about it that affects one's feelings and behavior. Selling the franchise was not what triggered the emotions, the transition emotions in me. It was how I chose to look at it. Other people had sold their franchises, walked away, next day, and no regrets. And here I was holding on to it, you know. Forget the old saying from the TV program that I want only the facts. What we want are the emotions because that's what's making the decisions. You know, another way to think of transitions is to think of it as if you were in a rowboat crossing a river. First, you push off from the shore, which means the end or leaving where you're at. That's the beginning of the transition. It's the end of the old. This requires you to deal with unfinished business. I need to make up my mind to leave. You'll need support and encouragement to shove off from the shore. You'll need to trust that things will be better if you leave. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to another coach just today about issues involved in transitional sales of companies. And we talked about the fact that, you know, it's pretty easy for an owner of a business to think about financially selling the business and collecting, finally, a lump sum of money. But what makes it so difficult for most of them is the emotional transition of letting go of their baby, letting go of their life work, letting go of coming to that familiar office that they've gone to for who knows how many years, and trusting that things will be better when they push off from the shore. So they push off from the shore, and you reach the middle where you do not have what you left, and you don't have what you're going to. You haven't reached it. You know, this is where most transitions fail. Many times the temptation is go back to the shore you just left since you're uncomfortable with floating around out here in the middle or the unknown. You know, think of transition and change management. We come up with a new procedure. We come up with a new way to do things, and everybody agrees to it. And then we start to implement it, and all of a sudden, nobody wants to do it. Everybody has reasons why it's not going to work. There they are in the middle of the river, not uncomfortable with not having the old ways, and not comfortable enough with the new ways to feel confident that they're going to work. So what's the natural thing to do? Keep pushing forward to the new? Well, maybe for some of you. But for some of you, the comfortable thing to do is, let's go back to the shore. Let's go back to the way we did it. Well, in this example, finally you arrive at the other shore, and now you have to meet the new challenges. You know, many times in dealing with business change, we're totally focused on the other shore, the new beginning, and don't take time to recognize that we have to first deal with what we're leaving. You know, it is normal that as soon as we talk about a new change, everyone wants to go back and fight the old battles of we tried that and it didn't work, or yeah, that's what you said last time and it never happened. You know, We need to first focus on the problem that's dictating this change or transition rather than spend our time selling the solution. You know, this is how we deal with transitions. You know, we need to look very carefully to get people involved in a change and to minimize the transition emotions. We need to not dictate to them, this is the solution. We are now going to do things differently. We need to get them to buy into first, this is the problem that we're attempting to solve. Do we all agree that this is a problem? You know, the world's greatest solution that you propose to me is worthless if I don't believe there was a problem to begin with. And then there's that issue of trust. What happens if we've tried to change things in the past, but it didn't work? The minute you come to me with another change, I'm going, hey, last time you said this, we've been down this road before. We need to get buy-in from people on what the problem is and that it needs to be addressed. And then we can move on to the solutions that we want to implement. We need to challenge people to focus on today, the ending, leaving the shore, before they spend time focusing on the new beginning. You know, that is so easily said, and I don't know how to emphasize that in this conversation, but we are so quick in a change or in a transition to talk about how it's going to be. And we don't deal with how it is to let go of what we have. You know, again, in personal life, we deal with this a lot better. Think of the couple getting married. The guy or the gal are out with their friends for the bachelor or the bachelorette party, and they're getting all kinds of information about how this is going to be great to be married. That's coming from their friends that are married. Or they're getting all kinds of information from their still single friends about, boy, you're going to miss the dating and you're going to miss the fooling around and whatever else. But it's all focused on what you're going to let go of. And until you're comfortable with letting go of something, you're never going to push away from the chore. You're never going to push away from the shore and address that new change. So in trying to look ahead and plan for transitions, it helps to have a clear picture on where the company is in terms of its life cycle. Knowing that natural transitions for the company will be, knowing that the natural transitions that the company will be going through will help you to plan for those transitions that will impact the people. You know, I want to share a German proverb with you that I think sums up clearly what we have to deal with in the business world in terms of the emotions of those that are involved in a major change or transition, particularly those that are, let me say, left behind. The proverb is this: a great war leaves a country with three armies, an army of cripples, an army of mourners, and an army of three thieves. You know, in managing transitions, we have to deal with all three of these armies. The survivors whose energy has been sapped, whose commitment has been weakened by unmanaged and mismanaged transitions. We have to deal with those who are grieving over all they have lost in the change. And we have to deal with those whose loyalty and ethics have been so compromised by their experience that they may have turned hostile, self-centered, and subversive. You know, we have to take the time to deal with the emotional side. In change management, we are all focused on the event, on the physical characteristics. What's the timeline for the change? Physically, what's going to happen? Transition management deals with what are the emotions that people are going to have to undergo? What is it that they... have they bought into the fact that there should be a change? Have they bought into the fact that there's a problem and therefore we need to look at the solution? have they bought into the idea that they're going to push away from the shore and let go of the way it used to be, recognizing that there's going to be an interim period where they're very uncomfortable with the new and they very much miss the old, and then there's going to be another period where they completely immersed in the new way but not comfortable with it yet. But that will come. Those are all the typical emotions. Those are the emotions that we have to deal with. Well, let me start to wrap this up by talking about how to prepare for a transition. And I want to give you a couple of easy steps. First, share the problem before the solution. We talked about that. If you've got transitions that people are going to have to go through, let's first agree that we have to make a change, that there is a problem. Second, find out what people are going to protect. What is it that they are going to be the most reluctant to let go of? And let's deal with that. Educate your leaders on how transitions are different from change. Make sure that they're aware that we're dealing with the emotions here. Identify who's going to have to let go of what to make it work. Manage the neutral zone or the middle point by providing time and resources. Encourage and reward new behaviors and attitudes at the practical level. And create a transition management team. What is a transition management team? Well, let's talk about the role of a transition management team. You know, it was interesting when I was talking to this group last week about it. If I remember right, nobody was really familiar or had experienced a transition management team. And so I think this is important. I haven't experienced it. I've read about it. I think it sounds like it makes a lot of sense, and I pass that information on to you. First, the role of the transition management team is to make sure that nobody's getting forgotten, that everybody's issues are being addressed. It's to make sure that the communication is not only getting through, but it's being believed. Remember, communication is two-way. It's not just telling somebody something. It's making sure that they heard it and they believe it. Three, it's identifying the people or the groups that are having trouble letting go, and identifying what policies and practices or structures are in the way of making this transition. And most important, what this team does, it does not manage people. It does not manage people, but in fact, it monitors and reports. Well, you know, we could go on for a long time, but this is a short show today, and I just wanted you to be aware of how transition emotions work with change management and how managing transitions is different than change management so that we can address it. I think as coaches or as HR professionals, you know, you are on the front line. You are getting hit with all the emotional impacts that people are going through when they're in the middle or about to face a transition. And for those of us in the management area, you know, we need to stop and think about more than just the schedule, more than just the physical end of it. We need to look at the emotional side of these transitions and what we're going to do about it. Well, look, I appreciate you listening in today. I just want to remind you before we sign off that, you know, we have been coaching executives, individuals, and companies for 19 years here in the Southern California area. You know, our primary focus is working with management teams and CEOs. We've handled all kinds of transitions from transitions into new jobs, from entry level to new CEOs. Transitions out of jobs from entry level to CEOs and transitions in terms of changes in business. You know, we went through some, all of us went through some major economic times in the last few years, and there were lots of transitions and we're still suffering from those. So Well, this is Doug DeFeller thanking you for listening today, hoping that you've collected some information that you can put to good use immediately. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.